Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
The only shop in the village of Johnstown in Kildare has announced it's to close its doors this week. Meanwhile, once a prominent fixture in every town and village in Ireland, the pub is, according to publicans, hitting breaking point. So what might all of this mean, I wonder, for rural Ireland? To discuss this further, I'm joined by Michael O'Donovan, who's president of the Vintners Federation of Ireland and proprietor of the Castle Inn in Cork, by Elaine Houlihan, who's former president of Machrane the Fenema, and also by Seamus Boland from Irish Rural Link. But first of all, I'll invite you all, guests and listeners, to listen to this from John Cook. He visited the East Village, East Clare Village of Feakel, to speak to local residents and traders there about this.
A lot of our pubs have closed and we had a doctor in there. We no longer have the doctor. We have to go into the towns for a lot of things that we need, even our churches, like a priest.
Customers at Smith's General Merchants raise issues familiar to many rural villages, as I ask some about their future here.
Yeah, well, we're living with our father-in-law at the moment. The planning permission side of things makes things really difficult. And childcare as well. There's only one creche around.
Place like Feakel, it's not what you make, it's the quality of life here.
Proprietor Niall Smith and his daughters say they're bucking rural trends in keeping their grocery shop, farm and fuel supplies and undertaker's business going.
Well, you have to have a little bit of everything. If I just stuck to grocery, there wouldn't be a living for a family in debt.
But Niall and his daughter Carlene, who's just returned from Dublin, say help is needed to keep rural traders alive.
Well, I can't say the government is supporting businesses. No. I mean, if they were, they wouldn't be closing down, would they? For example, licenses now. There's a new license coming in next year for selling cigarettes. I'll have to pay £1,000 to sell a few packs of cigarettes. The guy with the business inside, they'd be in the outskirts of Limerick or a shopping centre, he'd sell 20 times in a day what I'd sell in a week, and he still pays the €1,000. And it's the same for wine license, same for fuel license.
So incentives are needed to keep these smaller businesses going, you would say?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And Carlene, will customers and people your age shop here? Because lots of people are going to the bigger towns or shopping online, not bothering with shops at all anymore.
We're trying to keep moving with the times and offer what people want in this day and age. And I think that the big thing is, you know, people maybe don't realise that.
So maybe put down your phone for a while and check out what's available on your doorstep.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary, how are you doing?
Down the road at Pepper's traditional pub, it's the weekend and evening trade that keeps them going, as I ask owner Gary about the demise of local pubs.
The younger people are not frequenting pubs like they used. They have different styles these days. A pub like this, and many pubs throughout the country, I mean, they're a tourist attraction. They're world-renowned, you know. If it's good enough for the tourists, surely it's good enough for our own government to give us somebody support to help us survive.
Well, there you have it. That's publican Gary Pepper speaking with John Cook in the East Clare village of Feakel there. As I say, I'm joined by Michael O'Donovan of the Vintners Federation, Elaine Houlihan, past president of Machrane the Fenema in Limerick, I think, and Seamus Boland of Irish Rural Link as well. I'll ask you, is this not just about the rural pub? It's about the rural shop, and it's about rural communities and rural life. And if it's as vivacious as it could be, I suppose. And I'll come to you, Michael O'Donovan, first of all. Generally, is there a decline that you feel in rural Ireland?
Yes, there is. Obviously, you know, we've seen the numbers over the last 20 years, pub closures across rural Ireland, and, you know, towns and villages across Ireland always had a post office, a pub and a local shop. And unfortunately, they've disappeared over the last number of years. And it's the cost pressures, really, that have forced a lot of doors to close. I suppose the Gen Z population now, they are far more body conscious than they were before. And, you know, pubs, I think, since 2020 have pivoted and invested hugely in their businesses. And, you know, we offer no and low alcohol beers and, you know, trying to attract those people in. But
you're struggling generally, I think, in rural pubs. Can I jump ahead to stay with me, Michael, to Elaine, because you are, I think, one of the Gen Zers that Michael's referring to is drinking less and less as a generation. There is a pub in your village in Limerick, is there?
Yeah, so in my village, I come from a very small village called Atlaca in County Limerick, and I suppose we have two pubs. We lost our shop and post office when I was very young. I don't even remember the shop closing down, so it has to be a good while ago.
Yeah.
But, like, I suppose I agree with, like, some of the points that Michael are saying, that, like, there is a decline there in pubs in rural Ireland, let's be real. But regarding the Gen Z, I suppose, generation, we will go to the pub. But it's the pub that, like, that'll welcome us in. I suppose, look, a lot of them you think of like an old man pub that is good for the tourists. But it's more like I see from travelling the country in rural areas that if there's a pool table and a dart table and the owner is welcoming for them to bring in food or provide food, they're all there.
Really? And not otherwise?
No.
What's the story? You want to socialise in a pub, but you don't want to drink in a pub, your generation. Is that it?
Yeah, like, I mean, I personally was out for the weekend and I didn't drink.
What did you do?
I'm not a pioneer. Yeah. I was happy out drinking and mineral. It doesn't bother me anymore, I suppose. When I was younger, yeah, I wouldn't go out a night without having a couple of drinks. But I suppose it's just completely changed. I suppose the risk of, like, drink driving. Mm. Like, you don't want the being caught the next day is the biggest thing.
Yeah, and more and more people of a younger generation say that as well. You say you have two pubs in your village. Before I come to Seamus, Elaine, where would you go in your village, I wonder, to socialise if there was no pub?
I honestly don't know. And that was one thing that I was actually thinking. We have no other social outlet in our village now, bar the GA club, maybe going to a match, standing on the sideline, having a chat. And that would be the God honest truth. Without the pubs, we have no social outlet.
Yeah. You know, people in Dublin think, in other cities, that you're mad, absolutely mad, to be living in a place where you can't do anything or go anywhere after daylight closes. Stay with me. Seamus Boland of Rural Link, you're beating this drum for a long time, aren't you? Do you think it's better or worse in recent years, rural Ireland?
I know the stats don't lie. The fact is there's an increase in the closures are growing every year. And the reality is that most of the pubs are family owned. And unfortunately, the successors are not there or don't see a future in the pub. So that's why they're going and they're disappearing. And really, the economic margins are tightening as well. So yeah, all of those factors are leading to the reality of closure.
I'd love to hear people's opinions on this, to 51551. What impact is that having, Seamus, do you think, then?
I think it's having an enormous impact. I know during COVID we all heard about loneliness, and there is a big problem in rural areas of loneliness. But it's also removing from the village the kind of central place where people socialise, not just to have a drink or to play pool,
yeah,
but also to simply have meetings, to do cultural events, to do birthday parties, to do various things. It was and is, where they still exist, the centre of that village and that place. So really, we're losing a major part of the culture. And just on the thing about, the guy from Vintners was talking about the licence to sell cigarettes. Really, pubs, especially the last pub in the village, has to be classified in a different way in terms of taxation, in terms of licences and things like that. Because really, they are not going to compete with the bigger super pubs. And they're not even a threat to them either in terms of competitiveness. So I think there are answers there that we have to do a bit of searching for.
Yeah, would you agree with that, Michael, that pubs in rural areas have to be treated differently in terms of taxation and supports than a pub in a town centre, for example?
Yeah, look, I suppose all pubs have faced their challenges. And I suppose over the last number of years, successive governments have really put cost pressures on us. And look, we gave them a document recently on helping all pubs really through a draft rebate on excise, because our excise is the second highest in Europe, and it would be a help for all publicans to try and keep the doors open and keep us alive. And it would be a benefit to all communities. And, you know, something that people always forget about is rural pubs offer people really their first job, you know,
their first
before they go
well,
off
though.
To college. Their first drink as well, but a lot of college students would work there part-time.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that in an ostensibly good way, Michael. Do you know what I mean? In a culture where we have an abusive relationship with drink, I wonder, is it a good thing? I don't know the answer to this. Is it a good thing that there is a decline in the pub, in the availability of drink, or am I barking up the wrong tree here?
Well, look, I think the pub is probably the safest place where you can drink, because from statistics, 60% of most alcohol sold in this country comes from the off sales at the moment, that's consumed at home, where if you're in a pub, you're in a professional environment where the bar person will look after you. And, you know, if you do have too much to drink, they will more often than not get you a taxi or maybe get you a spin home or stop you from drinking. So it's a much more controlled environment. Yeah. And, you know, it's good to get out and socialise and meet other people, where when you're in your house, you're on your own. So, you know, I would be a great advocate of the pub as the best place to go drinking alcohol in, yeah, and the safest place to drink alcohol in.
A listener says the pubs have no one to blame but themselves. If a drinks company put on a price increase of 10 cent per pint, publicans put it up anywhere between 30 to 50 cent. I don't know if you'd probably disagree with that, would you, Michael?
Well, look, I suppose when a drinks increase, you know, the publican normally just increases the price once a year. Everybody thinks about just the price of the cost of the pint coming in or the cost of the drink coming in. But there's the other costs associated, you know, wages have increased, insurance has increased, rates have increased, water charges have increased hugely. So we don't increase the price each time all those increases mm-hmm. go. You know, you just do it once and hope that will cover you for the year ahead.
I take your point, I must say. But the question here for me, it's not simply, as I said, about the pub, if there's a pub in a rural area or not. The question for me is, where is it better to live, in an urban or town setting or a rural area? And Elaine, people think of housing, that it might be a little bit easier to get a better house or a bigger house with more garden space and so on, that sense of community and close to nature and so on, if you're in a rural area. But not if you can't buy a pint of milk when you need it locally. And villages or towns with no shop in it, for example, is that not a no-brainer? You can't live there sustainably, can you?
I suppose it's a catch-22 situation in this regard. Like, a lot of people and a lot of young people want to live in rural Ireland and don't see the issue with that. Like, for us, in my village, we're about 10 kilometres away from a shop. That's why we rely so heavily on driving. I suppose the minute you hit 17 in a rural area, you are getting your provisional driving licence and you're on the road. Like, that's the big thing. But, like, the biggest barrier here is, yeah, we've talked about planning. One of the people that you interviewed at the start said that planning was one of the issues, childcare. But the biggest barrier, personally, even for me, is actually the internet. I cannot work from home in my rural village because, I suppose, the internet, the National Broadband Plan was rolled out, was it 2019 or was it 2020? Mm. And I actually, before coming on, I decided I better go onto their website and see when would we be successfully connected. December 2026, when the rollout's supposed to be finished.
But they say they're making huge progress, the broadband plan.
Look, for me, I personally don't see it. My family own a business in rural Ireland. We would love to have fibre broadband to adapt new practices and hire more people. Mm. But we can't get it. We've done everything. We've contacted our local TDs. We've got every route possible and we can't get it. How can, like, the likes of rural pubs then? There's some rural pubs out there that don't even have card machines.
Yeah.
Because they can't get reliable internet.
So that's a huge issue for you. And you say you have to hop into a car and drive 10 kilometres if you want to buy a pint of milk. What about all the transport links, the public transport links that have improved around the country, in rural areas as well, the government tell us? Would you not hop on one of those to get your milk?
I suppose for us, we do have the rural link, but the times, it just runs once a day.
Yeah.
And so I'd be coughing the town for a few hours before I'd be able to get back down again.
So let's say you need a pint of milk in the morning. How long would the round trip take?
I definitely wouldn't have my cereal, but I'll be back in time for dinner.
Can I come back to a very serious point, Seamus? And this impacts a lot of older people as well, I know for sure. The loneliness, you say, everyone of course, but older people, you mentioned loneliness. And the pub, to go back to it for a second, was a place that people could congregate and have a drink or two and then go home. But for very good reason, drink driving laws and so on, which has been stamped down on, that's gone for an awful lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, and the fact that there's more older people than younger people living in these areas is not helping. We had a kind of a taste of the dream during, I dare say, in that horrible time called COVID. Mm. But we had a taste of what it was like when a lot of people were home, and young people especially. And I remember the Taoiseach of the day, Leo Varadkar, talking about this could be a taste of the future. Now, it's never really materialised. I think internet is a problem, but it is coming. But we haven't really followed up in bringing industries, setting up indigenous companies, getting industry started in rural areas to keep young people at home. And they're just not there at the moment. And when you think about it, You know, a lot of people still travel long distance to work, and by the time they get home, they're bushed. And I mean, yeah. most evenings, really, they're not going to go there. So yeah. we have a lot to do in just changing the way people work.
Okay, and we're only starting the conversation here, really. And we didn't even touch on sports teams, the difficulty in fielding sports teams. I know from talking to people, the Valencia Young Islanders, right up to clubs in Donegal, that there's a problem there as well. Even though they're making huge progress recently. Anyway, we'll come back to it. We'll keep an eye on it and question what supports the government should provide local communities in rural areas. 51551. But Seamus Boland, thank you. Elaine Houlihan, thank you as well. And Michael O'Donovan, meet with us later.